sure you're aware, it's a tool to kind of encourage and guide investment in areas that where council or the town sees need for revitalization and improvement. It can be used, it's a very flexible tool that can be used for a whole bunch of things in terms of business attraction and retention, so attracting new uses, but also encouraging current uses to stay and giving them an easier opportunity to upgrade and improve their buildings. Basically, the scope we were given was looking at Amherstburg's downtown. Primarily, it started off with a focus on commercial, that seems to be the focus. So we're through this process, we're going through and determining kind of the objectives, what areas have the biggest need for improvement, what kind of uses do we want to attract and retain and encourage. If there's any physical need for improvements in other infrastructure or other recommendations that can come out of this, such as whether it's zoning or other, not just their urban design guidelines and community improvement plan, but if there's other supporting documents and bylaws or whatever that can be done to encourage, to make sure this is a complete package. And then basically we're gonna come back with recommendations and strategies for implementing the plan and the design guidelines. Once again, this is a study area. We looked from allowing the Sandwich Commercial District down to the waterfront. This obviously includes more than just the commercial area, but it's all part of, when people think of downtown Amherstburg, they don't just think of the couple streets that have commercial Toronto, they also like walking through the residential. So we wanted to consider that as well, as all fits into the mix. We've had some suggestions about other brownfield sites outside that area, but that's just some of the feedback we've received so far. In terms of community improvement plan, like I said, this is a tool under the Planning Act and the Municipal Act that allows towns and municipalities to focus investment on certain areas, and it allows access to other kind of funding, in some cases to fund infrastructure and other things, but also to provide grants and loans or waive fees for private business owners and property owners to improve their building when it's deemed to be in the best interest of the community. So it's, if someone's got a dilapidated building that's creating stigma for the entire street, we can target investment and hopefully encourage them to fix up their building, which is deemed to have benefit more than just them, but deemed to benefit the whole community and their neighbors, especially, for example. And by going through that, then this process allows that to happen. As well as you need to have a community improvement plan in order to fund those programs, basically. The design guidelines. This is it's a guideline document for staff, or for a whole number of parties, for staff to review applications. It's also something that can be shared with whether it's business owners or developers, so that they know that they have ideas where to start from, what kind of things will be encouraged and supported there. So in conjunction with the community improvement plan, they're a tool that can be used to evaluate. Someone wants to fix up their building, how do you decide whether that's they're meeting the public objectives? Well, they're meeting these guidelines, they're supporting these things, so we can support that. It's a way of laying it all out, what kind of things Amherstburg is trying to encourage. They're widely used, and it's a fairly common tool. And paired with the community improvement plan, where you can offer incentives to use the guidelines, then it can be very effective. The meeting this afternoon, we had a lot of some talk about these are guidelines. They're not written in stone. They're not laws. Things like we can give recommendations for height and all this kind of stuff in the guidelines. Things like zoning bylaws or designating as a heritage district are more written in stone. And so these are, just keep in mind, these are guidelines. They're not going to stop anyone. Their guidelines there, but they're not, they can't prevent, if someone wants to do things, they're limited with their ability to prevent, for example. So yeah, in terms of where we are, we've been starting to develop our recommendations based on the feedback we've had from this meeting.
concern about community improvement plan, but it involved the downtown core, not the community. And so I did express that at the beginning, and I understand, you know, the focus, you know, this, the decision was to try and focus on downtown core. Again, not opposed to it, because building a vibrant downtown core will trickle out to other areas. I do concern, my concerns are those similar, as Council Pryor's indicated. We have to, you know, we're going through this exercise, we have to be more mindful of Amherstburg's just not the downtown core, so, you know, it's outlying communities. Maybe it should have been, I mean, there's what I'll refer to as community, you know, improvement plan, but is it business improvement plan, as if we're talking about the businesses, developing the businesses, which now, you know, the business could be in Burke or McGregor or downtown. So somehow, this focus of this really narrowed us, I think, to strictly the core. So that was always my concern. Not, you know, I've sat through this exercise, it's a good exercise, and it's heading in the right direction, because the core will help Amherstburg as a whole, not an argument. But we're forgetting about the other areas, I think, in what we've done here, we've totally cut off, your map shows that, we've totally cut off everything else. And that's, I think, is the downside of this whole process.
Councilor Pujan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And although I really appreciate Councilor Marash and Councilor Pryor's statements, I think Council's direction was to ask Monty to come back with the urban plan for the downtown district, since most of our businesses are located there, and also that's where the vast majority of our tourism attends, the businesses and all the historical features that are mostly located in downtown core. And although I really do appreciate the fact that we have to be concerned about the urban areas, I think we should just focus on this part right at this time, because that's exactly what the mandate was. And I think it just might be too big and too consuming if we try to do all the other sections right at this time, instead of just focusing on the area from William to Lowe's, from Sandwich to the river. And I think that should be our main focus right now, because it could be the new council that could make the decision to proceed with the larger picture.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our study area, the extent of our community improvement plan, we have to justify it based on the Planning Act as we go through this process. Our policies in our official plan right now direct how we can move forward with the community improvement plan, but part of this process too, if we do open it up to our secondary settlement areas, we may have to justify that through an official plan amendment. It might be a greater process, or what we could instead do at a later date is do a community improvement plan for the rest of the rural areas, our secondary settlement areas. We could do that at a later date. We could also reopen up our community improvement plan at a later date and expand it as well.
To Director Rebecca, but if we take the definition of community improvement plan, you said under the official plan, I would think that any municipal regulations, when you talk about community, are not talking areas within the community. We're talking about the community, okay? And that's where I think, where I say we're selling ourselves somewhat short by looking only at an area within the community, because we're calling it a community improvement plan. And that's, again, strictly my opinion about it.
Yeah, I guess the recommendations that come out of this could benefit other hamlets and stuff as well. Like in terms of, we had some comments just about improving the process for people to apply for permits for things or getting or building permits, that kind of thing. Like those types of benefits can trickle down and can be applied across. still help. Like I said, our direction was to focus on downtown. I guess, to move forward, we kind of wanted to break into small groups and then kind of make this a little less formal. We're gonna go through the feedback and just ask you guys some questions. I wanna hear your input, if that's all right with everyone. So, I don't know if each table wants to, we've got sheets here, and so basically, we've got the questions, and then we'll, if we can each spend a couple minutes on each question, and then we can, as a group, share back and make sure everyone's hearing everyone else's comments. You should be appropriate.
There's a few members around this table that are probably not members for the rest of us, so does that make a difference to later, please?
Nope. Oh, yeah. As long as you guys still care about Amherst, we're gonna.
No, I mean, just in terms of what your focus is.
Yeah, so I'll, just to kind of give you, we've got several questions, there's seven questions in there. Just, and so let's start off with some very high-level ones, just about what you guys think is distinct and attractive to Amherstburg. What kind of challenges you see for current businesses for attracting tourists. Then we get more into kind of questions focused on the design guidelines in terms of what kind of things people want to see, whether it's in the downtown or on Sandwich Street, or if we've got infill development spaces, how do you want that to look? Those are, so.
Seven questions?
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. So.
Can you put back to the study area map? It's on my top focus.
So, I don't know if.
Come on, you might as well throw another.
Yeah, so if each table can collect a note taker.
We did that.
Oh, let's see what this not doing.
Kind of about two tables.
Wrong.
Come on, get it there. We're an integral part of.
Each table to share like the top response for the first question.
Question one, we have overnight accommodations.
Okay. Do you guys have a different answer you want to add to that?
We never did really come up with a consensus. We covered a wide range of things from parking to accessibility to walkability to character of the town.
Okay.
We did the same with accommodations, but it's also getting the local residents to know about Airbnb. If they're not here in the wintertime, they can rent the place. So that way you're drawing people still that would maybe normally be here, even though they're gone on vacations, they could have somebody take that opportunity in Amherstburg during the wintertime. So,
okay.
You know, hotel, obviously it's always been on the minds of everyone, and I think that's the number one.
Okay. Yep.
Do you want one that's not accommodation related?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But we also talked about conveying a sense of place, like using, having materials, while there's some flexibility in that just has some degree of consistency, so when you enter into that core, everything kind of looks, it has that look and feel of a sense of place.
Yep.
For a lot of communities that are trying to sort of have hit that out of the park, they're like, this is somewhere I want to spend time, versus a disparate kind of different things all over the map, which is like, okay, I'm just going to go here to the bank and I'm going to go get my ice cream and I'm out of here. Whereas
yep.
This, I want to explore more, and that sense of place that does that.
referred to as active accessibility to waterfront, although we have, you know, a passive, we'll say, access to waterfront. Active accessibility to waterfronts, which we're hoping will get somewhat addressed through the Duffy's property acquisition. But, you know, look at, you know, boaters coming in, that, you know, maybe dock and then use our restaurant facilities. Or, I, earlier in the earlier session, one group said they got people that they do kayak and then they have to go upstream, to get their boats in the water, you know, to do that kind of activity. So it really was addressed towards more the active accessibility to waterfront. Are there any questions?
So I guess, yeah, thanks. Guys, moving on to questions 3 and 4. So question 3 kind of looks at what are the opportunities for attracting business or activity or visitors.
Great one, you're missing stuff downtown too, is Wi-Fi.
We got that.
Yeah, you know, allow residents to get onto our network, right? So they're walking through, a lot of people, especially Americans, they can get onto your Wi-Fi without a cost. Boom, I'd be able to look, I could see, I can put Google Maps up, I'm wherever I wanna go, even walking, you don't have to be driving, so.
And the other thing we already talked about was a proper signage to get down to the, you know, so people won't just drive through on Sandwich Street, miss the whole downtown area.
You guys have started that, you can probably, well, more of the sort of whole trailblazing signage for pedestrians and motorists.
Yeah.
Kind of dovetail them together.
Trailblazing signage.
We had that as well too here, what we refer to as directional signing to, you know, for visitors.
So for question 3 and 4, then we'll come back again to talk as a group. But what are the biggest opportunities for attracting visitors, growing businesses? What opportunities you see and then what challenges? No, sorry, I think we already, you guys.
One and 2 have a bit of an overlap.
You'll get that all the way through.
So what are the opportunities for attracting and what are the challenges for businesses? Pause again and we'll chat about 3 and 4.
Like you gotta be more forceful with the mayor, you might have to talk. If you talk all day, you might.
That's why he's in there. We could if you didn't talk.
So I guess I wanted to start off with question number 3 over here, is your topic.
Well, our top one was, the opportunities attracting is the proximity to water and our park system that's on the water. The festivals that we have that utilize those features. So that was our top. We have others, but those were our top.
Okay, so we'll go around and if it doesn't come up for us.
So with
on top of it, as soon as someone opens a business, or even if they just wanna purchase a property, they don't know where to come talk to the city, and then hopefully they find out to come talk to us, and we can explain the incentives, we can explain the process for opening business. It's having that, kind of like the getting that communication through the app is one way, or the organization like that is another way of getting that communication, people can navigate the city. So moving on to 5 and 6 and 7, really, these are all kind of getting more into the design. So question 5, how can we improve our downtown streets facades?
Going in the right number.
What kind of goals do you guys have for facades? And don't, like, think about, Amherst has a various number of like street states, so you can find like a historic kind of district, we also have the sandwich street commercial, as well as other kind of smaller regions within that. So think about if there's ways of improving both or all different types of streetscapes. Like ones that are oriented more towards the car as well as the downtown, more towards pedestrians.
How can we improve downtown street facade?
First open house.
Qualifies that to further and consider walkability, safety, and.
Valley Heritage Residential.
So if